Okay, so have you ever thought about like what the future of mental health care is going to look like? It's changing so fast, and honestly, it's not just, sitting on a couch talking to a therapist anymore.
It really is a whole new world.
Yeah. We're talking mindfulness, yoga, maybe even like energy work, all the stuff that your therapist might actually recommend alongside, more traditional therapy.
Understanding these changes could make a big difference in your own well-being.
Exactly. So that's what we're going to deep dive into today. This trend of integrating like holistic practices into therapy, what's driving it, how is technology involved, and what does it all mean for you, the person actually, looking for mental wellness?
The choices you're going to be making about your mental health care, they're going to look really different in the next few years. This deep dive is all about giving you the insights to navigate that new landscape.
Yeah, and I think, we're all kind of feeling the strain on the mental health system right now. It's no secret that demand for services is huge, but there just aren't enough, providers. It's almost a cliche at this point, but like, did you know that almost half of Americans are living in areas where mental health services are just inadequate?
It's a problem, and it's not getting better anytime soon. A few things have come together to create this, perfect storm. Low insurance reimbursement rates. It's hard for therapists to make a living, let alone cover their costs. Burnout's always been a problem, but it's worse than ever after the pandemic.
Right.
Fewer practitioners entering the field and more leaving.
Yeah, it's kind of ironic, right? Because like as the stigma around mental health fades and more people realize they could use help, it becomes even harder to actually get that help.
Precisely. Demand for mental health and substance abuse care is expected to jump almost 50% by 2033. But the supply of professionals
Yeah.
only going up by about 11%.
Oh, wow. So it's like almost like a bottleneck effect. More people need support, but there are fewer therapists available.
That's exactly right.
I see how this would kind of push people towards like exploring alternative options.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what's happening. This is where holistic therapy comes in. It's
Right.
not that traditional talk therapy is ineffective. But when you're facing these long wait lists, high costs, limited insurance coverage,
Yeah.
well, holistic approaches can expand access and empower people to take charge of their well-being, maybe in a way that's a little more proactive.
Okay, so like what does holistic therapy even mean? Are we talking about replacing therapy like completely with like aromatherapy and crystals and stuff?
Not quite. It's more like an expansion of the toolkit. Therapists are increasingly incorporating practices like mindfulness, yoga, breath work,
Okay.
even energy healing sometimes, alongside traditional treatment plans.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I'm seeing this reflected in like what clients are actually looking for too. It's like they want a therapist who takes a whole person approach, someone who thinks about their lifestyle, their diet, exercise habits, even spiritual practices, if that's relevant. It's not just about fixing what's quote unquote wrong. It's about overall well-being.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. And the interesting thing is that a lot of these holistic approaches are rooted in ancient healing traditions. They're being revived and integrated into modern mental health care.
Oh, wow. So it's like ancient wisdom meeting modern science.
Right.
What are some examples?
Ayurveda and traditional Chinese medicine are two big ones.
Okay.
These systems view health in a much more holistic way, looking at underlying imbalances that might contribute to mental distress.
Gotcha. So it's less about just like managing the symptoms and more about like getting to the root cause, right?
Yeah, exactly. And for a lot of people, that really resonates. It feels more aligned with like their values and their desire for a more kind of integrated approach.
Yeah, totally. I mean, think about acupuncture, for example. I mean, it's been used in China for centuries, and now we're seeing it more and more in integrative clinics to help people with things like, anxiety or PTSD.
Yeah, and studies have shown that it can be effective for anxiety. It works by stimulating specific points on the body that are believed to be connected to energy pathways, these meridians. The idea is to restore balance and flow.
So we're not just taking these ancient practices at face value. There's actually like scientific research being done to really understand how they work.
Exactly. And as more research is done, I think we'll see even more integration of these approaches into mainstream mental health care.
Wow, it sounds like we're really at a turning point in how we approach mental well-being. This blending of, ancient wisdom and modern science is creating a whole new, like, paradigm.
It is. And while there are still challenges and questions to be addressed, this shift toward more holistic and integrative care offers a lot of hope.
Yeah, for sure. And speaking of the future, We can't ignore the, I guess we'll call it the AI therapist in the app.
Ah, yes. Artificial intelligence is making its presence felt in the mental health world.
Yeah, I mean, AI-powered chatbots and therapy apps are becoming increasingly sophisticated, right? They're offering 24/7 support and even delivering, evidence-based therapies like CBT.
It's a development that's both really exciting and, for some people, a little unsettling. But it's important to understand that AI therapists, they're not meant to fully replace human connection.
Right. This isn't about replacing therapists with robots or anything, but AI could be an incredibly valuable tool, especially for those who might be, hesitant to actually seek out traditional therapy, or maybe they need support outside of, normal office hours, or they're just looking for more affordable options.
Absolutely. And what's fascinating is that some studies have shown that people actually find it easier to open up to an AI therapist.
Really? That's so interesting. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think for some, it could be that there's a reduced fear of judgment.
Right.
They don't feel like the AI is evaluating them or their choices.
Yeah.
They could just be themselves and share their thoughts and feelings without that fear of shame or embarrassment.
It's like the ultimate safe space, in a way.
In a way, yes. And then there's also the anonymity factor. You can be completely honest without feeling like you're actually being seen or judged by a person.
And it's available 24/7.
Right.
You don't have to wait for an appointment. You don't have to try to like squeeze it into your busy schedule.
Right. And the affordability is a big factor too. Many AI therapy apps are free or much cheaper than traditional therapy.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, so there are definitely, some compelling reasons why someone might choose to use an AI therapist. But what about the other side of the coin? What are some of the potential downsides or things that people should be cautious about?
Well, one of the biggest concerns is that lack of human connection. While AI therapists can simulate empathy and provide support, they can't fully replicate the nuances of human understanding
Yeah.
and emotional depth that a human therapist can offer.
So it's not about replacing human interaction. It's more like a supplement or a way to bridge the gaps in care.
Exactly. And another concern is the potential for bias. AI algorithms are trained on data sets, and if those data sets are biased, the AI therapist might perpetuate those biases.
It's like, I guess, any technology.
Right.
It reflects the values and the assumptions of the people who create it.
Absolutely.
So we need to make sure that these systems are being developed ethically and responsibly.
For sure. And then there's also the issue of privacy.
Yeah.
When you're using an AI therapy app, you're sharing very personal information. So it's crucial to really understand the company's data privacy policies and make sure you're comfortable with how your information's being used.
That's a really good point. I feel like data privacy is just like a huge concern, especially when it comes to something as sensitive as your mental health information.
It is, for sure.
And then I guess lastly, it's important to remember that AI therapists are still pretty new. They're constantly evolving and improving, but they're not perfect.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's important to have realistic expectations and not rely solely on an AI therapist for all your mental health needs.
Yeah. They can be helpful, but they're not a magic bullet, right?
Exactly. And that brings us to the big question. Where do you see AI therapy fitting into the future of mental health care? Do you think it will ever completely replace human therapists?
Yeah, I'm sure that's like a big debate right now.
It is. There's not a simple answer. But I think AI therapy is more of a way to complement and enhance human therapy, not replace it.
Okay.
It's about collaboration, not competition.
So finding that balance where AI can expand access to care and maybe, take some of the burden off human therapists while still preserving that human connection.
I think so, yeah. My hope is that we'll see AI therapists being able to handle those more routine tasks like screening, providing basic information, maybe offering support between sessions, And that would free up human therapists to really focus on those more complex cases and provide the deep relational work that AI just simply can't replicate.
Yeah. That sounds like a really good scenario where technology and human expertise are like really working together
Yeah.
to create a system that's, more accessible, more effective. But like, what does that actually look like in practice? Are there any real-world examples of this happening?
There are, yeah. Some clinics are starting to incorporate AI tools into their intake process,
Okay.
To help screen patients, maybe identify those who might benefit from specific therapies.
Yeah.
Others are using like AI chatbots to provide support between sessions.
Oh, interesting. So we're already starting to see it.
Yeah, we are. And I think it's important for therapists to be open to these new technologies and really explore how they can be used to enhance their practices.
Yeah, it's about embracing the innovation rather than like fearing it,
mm-hmm.
and recognizing that, you know, technology can be a powerful ally in this mission to promote mental well-being.
For sure. And that brings up another really important point. As AI becomes more common in mental health care, we need to be very mindful of the ethical implications.
Right. That's a really important consideration. What are some of the ethical challenges that we should be thinking about?
One of the key issues is to ensure that AI therapists are being used in a way that respects patient autonomy and privacy.
Okay.
You know, we need to make sure that patients understand how their data is being used, that they actually have control over their treatment.
So it's all about transparency and informed consent.
Absolutely.
Making sure that the patients are really aware of the risks and the benefits of using AI.
Exactly. Another ethical consideration is that AI could potentially make those inequalities in access to mental health care even worse.
Yeah.
We have to make sure that these technologies are available to everyone, regardless of their background or their financial situation.
Yeah, it's about using AI to like bridge the gap.
Right.
Not make it wider.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that means that we need to be proactive in addressing potential bias in algorithms and ensuring that AI therapists are culturally sensitive and inclusive.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, too, we have to think about the role of like human oversight.
Mm-hmm.
In AI therapy, it's important to have like qualified professionals, you know, involved in the development and the implementation to make sure that these systems are being used safely and effectively.
It's not about just handing over the reins to AI.
Right.
It's about finding the right balance between technology and human expertise.
Absolutely. And I think that's where the real potential lies, right? Like leveraging the power of technology to really enhance human connection and create a, you know, a more just and equitable system.
Exactly. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah. That's a great vision. It gives me hope for the future. But unfortunately, we are out of time for this segment.
Yeah.
So when we come back, we'll continue our exploration of the holistic revolution.
Hmm.
We'll delve into some specific practices that are gaining traction. So stay tuned. Welcome back to The Deep Dive.
Now that we've, you know, kind of set the stage, let's zoom in on some of these holistic practices that are really like gaining traction in the mental health world.
There's a lot of excitement around them. Rightfully so, I think. But it's important to, you know, really understand what they are, what the evidence says, and where they fit into the bigger picture.
Right. Yeah. It's like, instead of just, you know, name dropping a bunch of therapies, let's actually break it down. I'm curious, what are some of the ones that you're seeing like pop up the most in your work?
Mindfulness and breathwork are really having a moment. You hear them everywhere these days.
Yeah.
There's a good reason for that, though. Therapists are finding them incredibly useful, both on their own and integrated with like traditional therapy sessions. I've kind of dabbled in mindfulness myself, but to be honest, I'm still not entirely sure I like get it. For someone who's totally new to this, what would you say mindfulness like actually is?
At its core, it's about paying attention to the present moment without judgment.
Okay.
It's about noticing your thoughts, feelings, and sensations as they come up, but not getting swept away by them.
Okay. So it's not about like emptying your mind or anything like that?
Not at all. It's more about developing a different relationship with your thoughts and feelings.
Okay.
Instead of fighting them, trying to control them, you kind of learn to observe them with curiosity and acceptance.
That sounds really challenging.
It does.
Especially in our like constantly connected world.
It does take practice, but the beautiful thing is that you can practice it anywhere.
Yeah.
Anytime. You can be mindful while you're washing the dishes, walking the dog.
Okay.
Even waiting in line at the grocery store.
So it's not about adding another thing to your to-do list.
Yeah.
It's more about just like shifting your awareness throughout the day.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that. What about breath work? How does that fit in?
Breath work is a really powerful tool for regulating your nervous system. You know, different breathing techniques can have different effects. Some can calm you down when you're anxious.
Okay.
Others can energize you when you're feeling sluggish.
So it's almost like having a built-in stress management system,
right,
that you can access anytime.
Right.
Anywhere.
And the research is really compelling.
Yeah.
Studies have shown that certain breathing techniques can actually reduce anxiety, improve sleep quality, and even boost your cognitive function.
Yeah, it's amazing. Okay, so this is all sounding pretty good so far.
Yeah.
But what about like, you know, other mental health challenges beyond just like stress and, you know, things like that? Are there holistic approaches for, you know, like anxiety or depression or even trauma.
Absolutely. Yoga, for instance, is gaining a lot of ground as a complementary therapy
Yeah.
for a wide range of issues, actually.
Yeah, I've heard of trauma-sensitive yoga. Is that
Yeah.
kind of what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's one type. Trauma-sensitive yoga is specifically designed to help people who have experienced trauma process their experiences and regulate their nervous systems,
Okay.
but in a really safe and supportive environment. It really emphasizes choice and body awareness, giving individuals that sense of agency that may have been taken away from them during their trauma.
That's powerful. And it brings us to the whole body-mind connection. This
Yes.
is at the heart of, a lot of these practices.
Right. You can't separate the mind from the body. They're constantly interacting, influencing each other.
Right. I've been hearing a lot about somatic therapies lately. Can you kind of explain what those are?
So somatic therapies really focus on that mind-body connection.
Okay.
They help people become more aware of their physical sensations
Okay.
and how those sensations actually relate to their emotional experiences.
So it's almost like tuning into the wisdom of your body and using that to kind of understand and heal like emotional wounds.
Exactly. Our bodies hold so much information about our emotional well-being, often more than we even realize. Somatic therapies help us tap into that information
Wow.
and use it for healing.
It's fascinating how interconnected everything is,
It
our
is.
mental and physical and emotional well-being. And it makes sense that, addressing all of those aspects would be important.
Absolutely. And that's really the core of the holistic approach.
Yeah.
It's not just about treating symptoms, it's about treating the whole person.
Right. Okay, so we've covered mindfulness, breathwork, yoga, somatic therapies. What other like holistic practices are making their way into the mental health world?
Well, there's growing interest in energy healing modalities like Reiki, acupuncture, and sound healing.
Now, those are definitely a little more out there, right? At least that's how they're often perceived.
They can be, yeah. But it's important to remember that what's considered alternative today might be totally mainstream tomorrow. We need to be open to exploring different approaches and not just dismiss something because we don't fully understand it.
Yeah, I totally agree. And ultimately, like what matters most is what works for the individual, right? If someone finds relief and healing through Reiki or sound healing, who are we to say it's not valid?
Exactly. And as more research is done, we're starting to understand how they work
Yeah.
and the potential benefits.
So even though there might not be like as much scientific evidence to support these practices yet, people are still finding them helpful.
Exactly. And I think that speaks to the importance of individual experience and just being open to different ways of healing.
I'm curious, are therapists actually like blending these holistic practices with, traditional talk therapy, or are they seen as like completely separate approaches?
It's becoming more and more common to see therapists integrate holistic practices into their existing practices. For example, a therapist might start a session with a few minutes of guided meditation
Oh, okay.
just to help the client ground and center before they dive into deeper emotional work.
That makes a lot of sense. It's like creating a holistic container for the therapy session.
Exactly. And some therapists might incorporate things like aromatherapy or
Yeah.
sound healing to just create a really calming, therapeutic atmosphere.
It's not just about the words being spoken,
Right.
it's about the overall experience, like the sensory experience.
Absolutely. Appealing to all the senses, creating a holistic and healing experience for the client.
It really highlights how like therapy is evolving into like a more multidimensional experience. It's not
Yeah.
just about sitting on a couch and talking anymore.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's one of the things I find so exciting about, this new era of mental health care.
Yeah.
It's not this one-size-fits-all approach anymore. It's about tailoring the treatment to the individual, their needs, their preferences.
Well, I love that. Honoring the whole person, creating a space for like true healing to occur.
Exactly. That's what
Yeah.
we should be striving for.
Yeah.
A world where mental wellness is accessible and inclusive and empowering.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so we've talked about all these like amazing possibilities. But before we get like too carried away, let's talk about, some of the challenges, the considerations that people should be aware of. What are some of the potential downsides or things to watch out for when it comes to like holistic therapy in general?
Yeah, that's an important question. One of the biggest challenges is the lack of regulation and standardization in the field. There's such a wide range of practitioners out there,
Yeah.
and it can be really hard to know who's truly qualified.
Yeah, it's like the Wild West out there.
In some ways, yeah. So it's really crucial to do your research, find practitioners who are, reputable, experienced, and really aligned with your values.
And then I imagine too, like insurance coverage can be a bit of a nightmare. Absolutely. As we mentioned earlier, traditional health insurance often doesn't cover these therapies, which can make them really unaffordable.
It's a double-edged sword, right? Like you have all these incredible options,
Right.
but then they might not be financially accessible.
Right. That's the unfortunate reality. But as they become more mainstream and as more research continues to prove their effectiveness, I think we'll see that change. Hopefully, we'll see insurance companies start to cover them more widely.
Fingers crossed, because I think everyone deserves access to, quality mental health care, regardless of their situation.
Absolutely. And that's why advocating for policies that really support the integration of these practices into mainstream healthcare is so important.
Yeah, it's about expanding access for everyone, not just those who can afford to pay out of pocket.
Absolutely. Another challenge to consider is that these practices can sometimes be misused or misrepresented. Just because something is labeled as holistic doesn't automatically mean it's safe or effective.
So it's buyer beware, right? Do your research, ask questions,
Exactly.
and trust your gut.
Absolutely. And remember that holistic practices, they're not a quick fix. They really require commitment, self-reflection, a willingness to engage in the process.
Yeah, it's about the journey, not just the destination.
Exactly. Holistic practices are about cultivating a deeper understanding of yourself, developing tools that will support your well-being over the long term.
It's a lifelong practice, not like a one-time solution.
Exactly. And that's what's so empowering about it. You're taking an active role in your own healing.
Okay, so wrapping up this part of our deep dive, it seems like holistic therapy is a really rich and evolving field. Tons of potential benefits, but also some important things to kind of keep in mind as you explore it.
That's a great summary. And we're still in the early stages of this holistic revolution in mental health care. There's so much more to discover and explore.
Which is what makes it so exciting, right?
It is.
We're literally like witnessing the future of mental health care unfold.
And the possibilities are endless. Who knows what incredible discoveries and innovations are just around the corner?
I can't wait to find out. But before we get ahead of ourselves, we need to kind of take a step back and address the AI in the room.
Right.
When we come back, we'll be diving into that fascinating world of AI therapists, the good, the bad, and everything in between. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We've covered a lot of ground today, from the rise of holistic therapy to the emergence of AI in mental health care.
And in this final segment, we're going to really zoom in on some specific holistic practices, the ones that are gaining traction in the mental health world. We touched on a few earlier, but let's dive a little deeper.
I'm curious to learn more about those, especially like the ones that might be less familiar to our listeners. Where should we start?
Let's talk about energy healing.
Yes.
It's a pretty broad category that includes practices like Reiki, acupuncture, and Qigong. These modalities work with the subtle energy systems of the body with the aim of restoring balance and promoting healing.
Okay. I'll admit, energy healing is one of those areas where I tend to get a little skeptical. I can see how things like, mindfulness and yoga, they have a pretty direct impact on the body and mind. But energy work feels a little bit more, I don't know, esoteric.
I understand your skepticism. It's natural to kind of question things that we can't see or measure directly. But you have to remember that our understanding of the human body and mind, it's constantly evolving. And what might seem out there today could be well accepted tomorrow.
That's a good point. Science is always pushing the boundaries, right?
Right.
So how does energy healing like supposedly work? What's the theory behind it?
Well, different traditions have different explanations. In traditional Chinese medicine, the concept of qi, or vital energy, is really central. Acupuncture, as we discussed earlier, aims to stimulate the flow of qi along specific meridians or pathways in the body.
And the idea is that blockages in these energy pathways can lead to like physical or emotional imbalances.
Exactly. Reiki, on the other hand, is a Japanese energy healing technique that involves the practitioner kind of channeling energy into the recipient's body. It's often described as a really relaxing and restorative experience.
So even if we don't like totally understand, the mechanisms, there's a growing amount of evidence suggesting that people are finding relief and healing through these practices.
Absolutely. And as more research is done, we're starting to understand the benefits of energy healing a little bit better. Studies have shown that Reiki can be really effective in reducing anxiety and pain.
Wow. That's really interesting. So while we might not have all the answers, it's worth like keeping an open mind
Right.
and kind of exploring these different modalities.
Absolutely. And I think that's a good rule of thumb when it comes to holistic therapy in general. Be curious, do your research, but most importantly, listen to your body and your intuition. What works for one person might not work for another.
That's great advice. It's about finding what works for you, not some one-size-fits-all approach.
Exactly. And remember that holistic therapy isn't about like rejecting conventional medicine or treatments. It's about integrating different approaches to create a personalized plan that addresses your unique needs.
So it's not an either, it's a both hand. It's about expanding our options and creating a more holistic and integrated system.
Exactly. And this kind of brings us back to a theme we've been talking about throughout our deep dive, the importance of empowering individuals to take an active role in their well-being.
Yeah, that's been a consistent thread, hasn't it? It's not about passively receiving care, it's about actively participating.
Exactly. Whether it's exploring these holistic practices or trying AI therapy or even working with a more traditional therapist, the key is to be informed, engaged, proactive.
So what are like some practical steps, our listeners can take to become more empowered?
First and foremost, educate yourself. Read books, listen to podcasts, talk to trusted healthcare professionals, learn about different treatment options, holistic practices, the latest research.
Knowledge is power, right?
It really is. And don't be afraid to advocate for yourself. If you're not getting the care you need, speak up, ask questions, explore different providers. Don't settle.
Yeah, and remember too, you're not alone in this. There are so many resources available, both online and in your community, so don't hesitate to reach out.
Absolutely. And as we wrap up our deep dive into the future of mental health care, I'm going to leave our listeners with a message of hope.
Yeah.
You know, the landscape is evolving rapidly, and while there are challenges, there's also a lot of excitement, innovation.
It's a time of great transformation.
It is.
And it's really up to all of us to shape the future in a way that's, accessible and inclusive and truly serves the well-being of all.
Well said. And with that, we'll bring this episode of The Deep Dive to a close. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, we hope you found it informative and inspiring. Remember to take care of yourselves, and we'll see you next time for another Deep Dive.